In the remaining minutes of the hour here, we want to look to God's Word, and I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to Job chapter 12. A couple of weeks ago, we began a message in regard to what do you do when well-meaning people give you advice and it's wrong. We live in a day where opinions abound. People are always giving their opinions. All you have to do is go to social media and you can get a boatload. They always have this comment section, and sometimes I find them very entertaining to read them. Other times you see the revelation of just how wicked the human heart is. But you're going to face, and especially young people, as you grow older and you face very difficult decisions in your life, that you're going to be surrounded by people that are offering all kinds of advice. In this passage of Scripture here in Job chapter 12, we find Job is suffering terribly. He is covered with ashes. His body from the sole of his foot to the top of his head is covered with sores. He's resorted to taking broken pieces of pottery and just scraping, trying to open up the boils to let out all the corruption. And he is in a great deal of pain, and he gets a visit. And his visitors come, and they begin to chide him. They spend the last 10 chapters basically just ripping Job apart, telling him that we all know that good things always happen to good men and bad things happen to bad people. So what did you do wrong, Job? What are you hiding? All these bad things have happened to you because of a reason. It's because of sin. And we've discovered this, and you've got to come forth and confess your sin. And they begin to offer all kinds of advice, and they go into all these distorted and contorted ideas and basically intellectual conceit. As they, not having any pain or trouble, obviously they were spiritual. Obviously their wisdom was deep. Yeah, it was deep, about an inch deep. And it was wide, about a mile wide, but it wasn't truth. Now, folks, let me just say this. Many times we share advice that's not centered in the Word of God. And Job here is discouraged beyond measure by what he's hearing by these three advisors that's come to him. And sarcastically, he responds to them and he says, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you." Now you can hear that coming out of his lips as he is just full of pain and anguish, and he knows different. That he has been a man as the Bible describes him in chapter 1. Let me read God's description of Job. This is not Job's description of himself. This is God's description. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." That's God's description of him. This does not sound like a man who was filled with self and filled with pride. He was a man that did not know what was going on in heaven. He did not know that the devil had paid a visit to the throne and said, "Why don't you let me go at Job, your servant? Oh, he's a righteous man, but when you take everything away from him, you'll just watch, he'll curse you." And so the Lord said, "All right, I will let you attack my servant, only you spare his life. You cannot take his life." God put up a wall. Isn't it interesting that the devil obeyed what God said? Have you ever thought about that? Listen, even the devil knows his superior. How come we can't figure that out? You ever thought about that? The devil knows. He's a restricted being. He seeks, and he in these last days is stretching himself, but he knows ultimately that God is all-powerful, and yet little man, in our little finite and weak imaginations, think somehow we know more than God. I don't need to bother God with the stuff of our family. I don't need to bother God with all the small requests. I've got this. No, you don't. No, you don't. I read the papers every day. And I see people who thought they had this and they thought they had that. They thought they were spiritual. All you have to do is read today's Press Gazette to find out. A pastor was arrested last week here in Milton. He had a business on the side and he withheld $7,500 from the state. He had collected sales tax, but he didn't bother to turn it into the state, and they came after him and they arrested him. And then it comes out that he's been arrested two other times in the past 2 years. And he's hidden it from his church. Oh, nobody will be able to find out. Let me tell you something. Job learned that God is great and God has communicated His truth in the revealed Word of God, but He has communicated His truth even in nature. And you and I have a responsibility that whenever we dispense advice, that we need to make sure that the stream is not polluted with our ideas and not polluted with our thinking, but rather that we are getting our information and that we are making choices and giving advice that's centered in the Word of God. I began this series with a few questions that everyone ought to ask when they are given advice. Is the advice Scripture-centered? That's the first. But you can't just stop there because people will take the Scripture out of context. So you have to go to number two. Is the advice mixed with worldly philosophy? Has it got the worldly philosophy mixed into it? Oh, it may have Scripture with it. Oh, we've got preachers all across this country that mix philosophies and psychological teachings and mix it with the Bible. And people are just swallowing it in. Oh, it's got Bible. It must be all right. Let me tell you something. You better make sure that it's not mixed with worldly advice and counsel and philosophy. And then third, is the advice, now get this, is the advice contrary to God's order? Now that's very important. We are seeing in the church today where the church now is putting its stamp of approval on civil unions. And they have reinterpreted the Bible and they are going contrary to God's order. So someone comes across and they come across with this interpretation of the Scripture, and you can find any translation you want to today. The translation thing today, there's so many new ones that are so watered down and stripped of doctrines and changed. You got to be careful. You've got to watch out for those. Make sure it doesn't go contrary to God's order. People will give you advice. And just because they are older does not necessarily mean that their advice should be taken carte blanche. Not in these days. Not in these days. And young people, some very wise counsel. Don't go to your peers for advice. No matter how sincere, how nice they might be, and they may like you, it's going to be tainted advice because they want to make sure you're happy and that you hear what you want to hear. You need to go to people that have been down the road that are, first of all, godly people. Godly saints that have been down the road whose hearts are attached to this book. They love the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't do things contrary to God's order. Go to them for advice and help. Don't run to those that are your friends and your peers. The greatest mistakes you'll ever, if you look back over your life, the greatest mistakes you ever made were those that were centered on the advice of people that were your peers. I've always been very careful, thanks to the training. I don't take any credit for this, but the training that I received. Be careful now. Lots of people will give you advice. A lot of peers, and you've got to weigh it in the crucible of God's Word, and you've got to weigh it and not make sure it's unmixed with worldly philosophy, and it doesn't go contrary to God's order. And when Job listened to these three, they had failed on all counts. Job points them, very interesting, we've already talked about the discussion that took place between them, but you get down to verse 6 through verse 10, Job takes them and says, God's very nature, what He has created, says that what you're telling me is wrong advice. Very quickly, notice this, beginning at verse 6. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure. Now, you have to go back, because in chapter 4 and in chapter 8, both Eliphaz and Bildad had said that the wicked do not prosper. That the robbers are defeated. And Job says, wait a minute, that's not true. The Bedouins that travel the wilderness, the highwaymen that rob people, they even have guards watching over their stuff. They're successful. They know what they need to do. So your argument is wrong on its face. But he goes deeper than that. Notice verse 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall teach thee. Now stop for just a moment. We have on our campus a number of different types of birds. Today we were coming back from the restaurant at lunchtime, and we came back on campus, and we saw this huge chicken hawk. On campus here we have several of them that fly around. We watched one a year or so ago swoop down, pick up a squirrel, snatch him up, take him right up into the tree, and he proceeded to go after his head, just popping him. You could hear it popping as he was beginning to eat his prey. All right? Now that little squirrel had never done anything wrong, except maybe come in my yard a few times and steal seed out of our bird feeders. But other than that, it's just a cute little squirrel. How many of you think squirrels are cute? All right. Mr. Chris Maynard sent me a text. He shot a squirrel and then skinned it and roasted it for supper. And he would say, what do you think this is? And it says, it looks like a cat to me, but I don't know. But it was a squirrel. And it was up out like this with its paws cut off, and it had been cooked and everything, and everybody had eaten it and so forth like that. And I just said, you did that to a poor little squirrel? And he just texted me back, come on now, don't give me that kind of stuff, you know. Now, there's that little squirrel, cute little thing out there, and this chicken hawk just swoops down there, boom, takes him up there and kills it and eats it. What's nature teaching us? That innocents die every day. Innocents die every day. They suffer because of the round of nature, the curse that is upon the earth. And so even the little birds, the cute little birds, oh, how many times over the years as a kid you found a little bird. Maybe it had one leg and you tried to care for it. I don't think one ever survived that we played with. The only one we ever saw survive was one that was on Andy Griffith's show. Didn't it seem like that? I mean, we had cats. We found several cats. My brother will remember this. And we named them after the characters of Peanuts. We don't know what happened to the mother, but we found them crying. I guess my dad did. Found them crying and brought them home. And we started tending to them. We lost every one of them. Every one of them. It was a lesson to us. We got up in the morning and there was Charlie Brown laying there. I tell you, we named them after the Peanut characters. And we watched them, Lucy, Charlie Brown. I can't even remember all the characters, how many we had. What's that? Linus, yeah, we had Linus. That was a sad one whenever he kicked the bucket. But we were in there with little eyedroppers as kids. Just feeding those and watching those little kittens eating there, and their little bellies would get full, and we thought this was so great. And then Parvo struck and took them all. The tree that we buried them under is still out in my mom and dad's garden. I remember we went out there and we had a daily funeral, because it seemed like that, of the Peanut characters burying them. But you know what? It taught me a lesson. It taught me a lesson as a kid. Here were those cute little kittens, and they never got to grow up. That's a tough lesson for a kid to learn. Don't shield your children and your teenagers from what they need to know from nature. These three men, these three advisors, were advising Job, and even nature cried out against their advice. That innocent things die. Bad things happen to good creatures. Isn't that right? God has left that lesson for us, and yet sometimes we think, oh, we're so spiritual. Good things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people. Well, that's true some of the time. But think about it for just a moment. I want you to think with me here. There are good men that are afflicted with terrible diseases, and there are wicked men that prosper all around the world. Creatures that are the most harmless and innocent, and the ones that are often the most useful and beneficial to us, are prey to others. Sheep and lambs are prey to lion, wolves, and bears. And the lions, wolves, and bears move about the forests, fields, and plains, fearless and unharmed by other animals. That plays out every day in nature. The world of nature shows God's arbitrariness in destroying some and protecting others. We've seen that so many times. I've been going down the highway and see a dog cross out in front. I will never forget 1989, taking a group of teenagers to the convalescent center. And we witnessed a dog being hit by a car. Big dog. I had girls crying. We walked into that convalescent center and we were handing out tissues and everything. It was a terrible scene. It was awful as we watched that transpire. They were all crying out as we're going down the hill, "Get out of the way! Get out of the way!" Didn't get out of the way. And they watched that animal die. Now, that animal belonged to somebody. And that animal never made it home that night. But what a lesson. That bad things can happen to innocents in this world of sin. And don't you forget it. Well, let's move on beyond that. Doves and squirrels fall prey to hawks and vultures. And smaller fish, the cute little tropical fish down in St. Andrews Bay, when you go snorkeling and you dive down about 10 feet and you see all those beautifully marked tropical fish, and along comes a bigger fish and swallows them whole. What a lesson. Now, very quickly, you think about who owns things in this world today. You think about cattle and flocks, sheep, animals that are raised. Who do they belong to? Do they all belong to Christians? Do only Christians own sheep and horses and goats and all that kind of stuff? No. Many of them are held in the hands of wicked men. You think about other things. Gold and silver. Who possesses that? Well, I know Christians don't own a whole lot of that. There's a lot of bad people that control a lot of wealth in this world, do they not? You think about others, the power brokers of this earth. Not very many Christians in that realm. If the birds of the air and the fish of the sea could speak, when asked the question, whose food are they commonly given to, all right, fish out in the sea, who eats them? I think many of them would say, well, a lot of selfish people have me for supper. Now, Job takes notice of this from nature. You want to know how powerful nature's lessons are? Right here, they were able to disband the argument of three supposedly spiritual men in their quest to diagnose Job's problem. And they were dead wrong. You and I are ultimately responsible before God to take advice and weigh it in the balance of the precious Word of God. And we are to look at His general relevant revelation in creation. And we're to learn from that. There are so many lessons to learn. Right now, fall is taking place. What lesson are we learning from fall? You cannot have a spring without a fall. You can't start over again unless you get rid of the old leaves. My sweet gum tree in our yard is shedding. And it will shed all the way through December. It takes forever for some reason for sweet gum leaves to all fall down. I rake and I rake and I rake and I rake, and I'll think, maybe this is it. And then all of a sudden they appear out of nowhere again, and I have to rake again. But that's a lesson. Every fall and winter is a lesson. Teaches us about life and what? Death. People are surprised every day that death comes knocking at their door, and they made no preparation. Made absolutely no preparation for death. Folks, I want to encourage you, and we're not done with this, because we're going to talk about four things that the animals taught. They were smarter than these three advisors. Four things that the animals taught. I think that they will be instructive to us as Christians, that we weigh, and for young people especially, get godly counsel. Don't waste your time running to your friends to get counsel and so forth. They're well-meaning, they're nice people, but well-meaning, nice people, just like the three advisors, gave wrong advice. And when God gets to the end of the book of Job, He says this to Job, "Who are these men that darkeneth counsel?" They turn the light out on counsel because they were giving their opinions that were not centered in the Scripture. They were mixed with worldly advice, and they had all the earmarks of the philosophies of this world. May God help us to be wise. Oh, we're so quick to give advice, are we not? Is it weighed in the balance of Scripture? And is it going to edify, or is it going to cause more problems for God's people? We're going to have to give an account of every idle word that we have given. May God help us to be the right kind of testimony and to seek the right kind of godly advice in the decisions that we make in this life. It's good to seek out counsel. The Bible says that there is safety in a multitude of counselors. There's nothing wrong with that. But what kind of counselors are they? Are they godly men and women, or are they people that are mixers? They mix the truth of the Bible with cultural ideas. You're never going to come out right if you accept that kind of advice. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help us as we walk along life's pathway to center our thoughts upon the Word of God. These three advisors that came to Job did not encourage him, but instead offered advice that was contrary not only to God's, Your Word, Lord, but also to nature and what You taught in nature. These were men that were not well-versed in revelation. They were well-versed in their own thinking. Lord, we get into trouble so often in our lives by thinking outside the Scripture when we should be thinking within the Scriptures. So much thinking to be done there. And I pray that You would encourage Your saints tonight to walk with Thee, to understand that they are responsible, to weigh advice that comes their way in the balance of the Scriptures. And if it doesn't balance out, Father, it has to be rejected. I pray that You would help us to be as Job, to take to heart the truth that's given, but also to reject what is not truth. And we'll give You the glory and the praise for the victories that You give in our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.